Welcome to our episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Tellius Tyler.
This is great. I'm the first one introduced. There is a Serenity. Our show is not being opened with the gongs being banged, and I love it.
Well, it's nice that you love it, Tyler. We must now mourn the loss of our fallen brother. We are gathered here today to mourn the loss of Wario Will. He got on a plane and he hasn't come back. Something about Frankfurt, Germany being the last place he was spotted.
We can only assume the worst. Yes, it's very sad.
It's very sad. We obviously have to assume the worst because logical line of thinking is clearly not what's going on in this day and age. I mean, just
so
look at Twitter.
We dedicated this entire show. All we are going to talk about is Senran Kagura. So.
Yes.
Just be prepared.
Yes.
It's going to go in a direction you didn't expect. Today is our Senran Kagura special.
Yes.
Shout out to Will. We miss
Woo.
You.
Yeah.
And maybe
yes.
We'll see you again someday.
Yeah, and we will end every segment with some JoJo's Bizarre Adventure references. And when someone says something we don't like, we're going to go, "Nani?" When the time calls for it, I will, of course, do my world-renowned Will impersonation to embody what Will would say about a subject. So, you may be gone, Will, but you will not be forgotten, but you will be forever mocked.
And he will be in here in spirit.
Yeah,
through
in
your
spirit.
Will impression, he will be represented.
Why, thank you, guys. And I've prepared for you this beautiful sound clip. No, actually, I haven't. I should have, though. I should have. Darn. All right. Well, since we knew that Will was going to be gone, we tried contacting all of our co-hosts, but we couldn't find one. Where is everybody? Everybody was busy on the 23rd of January. It's crazy. We contacted
it's
like five people.
It's a big day. The 23rd of January. It's a big day.
Would have been bigger with a Nintendo Direct.
It really would have been.
I
am very sad. You know, I didn't expect a Nintendo Direct anytime soon, but every day I'd be lying if I told you I didn't wake up, grab my phone, open Twitter, and see if there was that special tweet, you know?
Yeah.
Tune in 2 days from now for a 45-minute special on all of our games for the first half of this year.
Or just this year. I, at this point, I just take this year, period.
Yeah, I would take anything. Just any morsel of new game announcements. That's all I want.
So it's so hard to dream nowadays. It's so hard to dream.
It really is.
Yeah. All right, but we do have some good news to talk about, or just news in general, I should say, to talk about. We got a very interesting main event for you. So with this two-man show, we're gonna get started off with what have you been playing? And I'll start this off, and I have obviously been playing Pokemon Shield. I believe I've just gotten my fourth badge, because I'm heading to
Balunella? Yeah, it's the forest with the beautiful trees, and it's the most gorgeous part of the game.
Yeah, and then, of course, the absolutely hilarious gym leader that is Opal.
And yes.
Pink! Gosh, that lady. But yes, I have been enjoying that. I'm actually getting a little frustrated with one thing. I'm trying to evolve my Eevee via the happiness meter, and I actually got it the Soothe Bell so that I could try and get either an Espeon or an Umbreon. And this dang Eevee is at level 40, and it won't evolve.
That's insane.
I know.
Run in circles. Like, get on your bike and just ride in circles for a few seconds. Just go around for like 3 minutes, and then try it again.
Yeah, and the Eevee has to be in, like, my first slot, though, to make that work, right?
I don't think so.
Well,
I mean, you might as well
case,
put it there just to make sure, but I don't
ago.
Think so.
It's been in my number two slot.
Yeah, that...
It's like, ugh.
Put it in the first spot and see if it makes a difference.
Fair enough. Granted, I mean, the original plan was to get it to evolve into Glaceon, but, of course, the only places to get the ice stones are in the later levels, including the Lake of Outrage. So clever. Get it?
It is very clever. It's extremely clever.
Lake of Rage and Lake of Outrage. Oh, so clever. And then there's like this one spot, like right near it, actually, where you can get an individualized stone. And then there's this place where there's like all seven stones where you can get them and, you know, evolve as necessary. And I'm like, fine, I'll wait, but whatever. Just weird. I mean, because I remember. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say we have a fairly light show today, but so I was hoping we could you could rank your Eevees for me, but finish your story first.
Oh, okay. But you know it's funny because I remember Johto and Hoenn even, and I think Unova also got an Eevee, and then of course my now legendary X and Y run. Was it? No, it was Alola where you gave me all those Eevees. Remember that?
Yes.
That was a great run. That was good times. But and I remember it being so much easier. And I remember, like, I'm pretty sure I remember getting my Espeon Eevee at like level 20. And here I am with a level 40 Eevee with a Soothe Bell, and I can't get it to be happy.
That
you
is weird.
Monsters. So
listen, I hate to say it, but that might reflect on you as a trainer.
It might.
Are yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
Sure
it might. I don't know.
Are you ready to be the champion of? Are you sure?
Yeah, well, I'm going to dominate the Pokemon League. This is known. I mean, I got an incredible. I have a better balanced team in Shield than I ever did with Sword. I was swapping out members like crazy to try and fill up my Pokedex. Now I'm just like, I'll just try and catch all the Pokemon and evolve them later. I've got a balanced powerhouse of a team, and I'm just waiting on Eevee to evolve either naturally or by stone so I can just have that extra bit of power. So, I don't know. But, you know, it's still fun. Like, I met some Pokemon I hadn't met in Sword today, like in DD, terrible name, and Sinistea, also terrible name. Seriously, what is it with, like the inanimate object Pokemon? I mean, like, Litwick, Chandelure,
Sinistea. Chandelure has grown on me. I kind of like Chandelure.
Ugh.
I'm going to be honest. I know that's not the most popular take. I sort of think Chandelure is cool. And I actually like Sinistea a lot. I agree the name leaves something to be desired. But just the fact that the actual Pokemon is, like, the T. Cool.
T.
Yeah. It's in that pot. Yeah, it's cool. It's a good design, I think. But I could see why people wouldn't. It's certainly leagues better than the ice cream cone.
Oh yeah, Vanillite and Vanilla. What was it? It was Vanillite,
Vanillux, Vanillish.
Oh god,
Vanillish was the first one, and then
so wrong.
Yeah, that was poor. All right, your top.
Oh, my top EV picks.
Yes.
Gosh, I've always had a thing for Espeon. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it was really powerful. I always remember Espeon being like one of the most powerful of the evolution. So that would probably be my top one. Number two. Oh, gosh, it's hard. I'm going to go Flareon.
Yeah, Flareon's great.
Always liked Flareon. Jolteon would probably be three. Always had a good look. Four. I'll go Vaporeon, just round out the originals. The originals are still the best in many ways. That's number four. So five, I'm going to go Glaceon.
I like Glaceon a lot.
Glaceon's cool. I think, remember, we were talking about the sound effect. Remember that? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Long time ago, we were talking about like how cool the sound effect for Glaceon was.
It's sweet.
It is sweet. I'll go Sylveon after that. Umbreon. Umbreon used to be like one of the coolest ones. It really did. Because that was when the evolutions were more limited, and now that they've expanded, it's just like dark types just aren't as powerful as they used to be. And I mean, Umbreon still looks cool, but as an effective fighter, not so much. And then obviously last is Leafeon. I've never liked that design. And
really? See, I do like them all. They're all really cool.
I like them all, and I would fight with them if I could have a party of seven Eevee, but it's just like if I have to choose, Leafeon's the worst.
My least favorite is Sylveon. I'm not crazy about the bows. The bows are a little too much.
It's a fairy, Tyler. It's a fairy Eevee.
I agree. It is. That is a true statement. I'm not wild about that one. I think Umbreon would be in my top three for sure. And then I would also put Flareon in there. And then it's tight between Glaceon and Espeon. it's very challenging for me to put those into order. Vaporeon's in the middle of the pack, and Jolteon's... I like Jolteon less than Vaporeon. So, piece my rankings together from there, but I would have to say the top three is Umbreon, Flareon, and Glaceon. Varying, depending on the day, the order changes there.
Alright, and then, aside from that, I've been playing, of course, Fire Emblem Heroes, and I delved into the banner of Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Encore Sharp, and I got Eleonora.
Oh!
Yes. Her and
Is that
Varian.
The Varian one?
Yeah, that's the Varian one. So what I usually do for Tempest Trials is that I will substitute one of the bonus characters in one of my team. My main team is usually Ike, Mia, Fjorm, and Luis. And that team has evolved very much over time. We used to have Seelip and then Sigurd and some other characters. But for whatever reason, For whatever reason, Eleonora, or how do you say her name? She's like really good, all right? Her bow makes it so that no one can attack her when she attacks first. It's very much like a fire sweep or whatever, and it happens like all the time. Like it's no like conditions. If she attacks first, no one can counterattack her. And especially in this Tempest Trials, where there's like a lot of tricky placement spots, she's like a godsend. And so I'm keeping her on my team for the foreseeable future. Sorry, Luis. But I like
the power creep. It has gotten wild. Like my strongest units will get destroyed by Marita. Whenever I run into a Marita, it's just like she's just stronger than large units. It's hilarious. Like some of the new characters are ridiculously strong. Same for the new Flying Catria. Have you ever had to face the Flying Catria?
Oh yeah, with that golden sword.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's a beast. It's crazy how strong she is.
Yeah. I've been enjoying that, and I'm just stocking up on orbs. I might take another whack at the Mirage Sessions banner just to see if I can get another one of the characters, but if not, I'll have well over 300 before the next banner comes out, so I'm okay with that.
Nice. Yeah, because I spent a bunch of my orbs on... I've always wanted to get Cliff, and him and Hubert were on a banner, and I spent like, I don't know, 60 orbs, and I got both, which was really lucky. But the third year anniversary is coming up, or fourth year anniversary? What year are we on?
It came out in 2017.
Okay, third year then.
Yeah.
So the third year anniversary is coming up, and that will be, wait, am I bad at math? Because we've had three waves of... Yeah, this has got to be the fourth year of the game. Anyway, doesn't matter. They always do something big when the anniversary comes up, so I'm trying to save orbs for that. So I was glad I got Hubert and Cliff early on there. So I've been enjoying Heroes as well. I've actually been playing a lot of games this week. I'm trying to reintroduce video games into my life after a two-week absence, and it's just such a joy to be to play video games. The big one I really want to talk about is Katana Zero, actually, that I got on the sale I talked about last week, and Devolver Digital. And if you can find this game on sale again, I cannot recommend it highly enough. I assumed it was just like a cool game from they put it in an indie showcase a while ago, and I figured just from watching that, it looked good. It caught my interest, obviously. But I assumed it was a game. But really, what it is, it's like a phenomenal mystery game. Like the plot is incredible. It's a short game, folds in like 5 hours if you beat it. But the way that they set the stage is great. I was fascinated by it because when I play video games, I always, like if I'm playing a Fallout game, I will always be like, I'll have good karma at the end of the game. I always am like polite to all the NPCs, and it's just, I don't know, it's just how I play the games. For some reason, Katana Zero made me feel comfortable right away with kind of just like, nah, I'm going to do whatever I want here. And I think they did that really by introduction, like you're on the phone talking to somebody, and he's giving you your mission, basically, and you can interrupt him at any moment. And, like, I was like, you know, I'm going to interrupt him. I don't care what he's saying. And, like, the dialogue, like, shatters, and then my character just, like, hung up on him and went through the quest. And then I started to notice these little tiny details that probably were different if I did different dialogue options. And before I knew it, I realized, wow, like, this is a... There's a massive web here of choices that you can make. Funnels to the same ending, no matter what. I did a little research afterwards, but the amount of information that you can find changes so much depending on the choices that you make. And it's a really satisfying story. It's very cool. I'd recommend it for that alone. But the gameplay is great too. You're basically trying to. It's kind of stealth, kind of action. You're a ninja who can slow down time, and you're trying to get through each room without getting hit. If you get hit once, you lose, and you have to restart. But they do it really cool. It's like Celeste in the way that when you die, it doesn't take time to respawn, because your character is basically, the way they play it is he's glimpsing into the future. So if you get killed, it just comes up, that won't work, and then you go back and you kind of start the plan again. So it's really quick, like rapid-fire pace. And the way all the mechanics kind of gel together, they're very simple but very effective. It's a really, really good game, and if you can find it for even $15, I would definitely recommend it. Like I said, it's short. That's the only issue with it, and it seems as though there might be a part two at some point. So I hope that does become a thing. Oh, and I suppose I should also talk about Dragon Quest XI as I started playing that finally as well. I bought that back in September when it came out. And that game is great. I believe that's a 100-hour game, so we're looking at a wildly different type of game. But initial opening cutscene is so gorgeous. The actual game itself, when you're playing it on Switch, it varies. Sometimes it looks great. A lot of Switch games. Sometimes it looks great, and sometimes it doesn't. And I can't tell what is the Switch and what is actually the game. My biggest complaint is the character animations, like when talking. They just, like, their mouths are literally just moving up and down. And it's really, like, not sunk at all. And I can't imagine it's a Japanese version either. Like, it just looks like their mouth is moving up and down. And they're very, very stiff. But conversely, the monster designs are the best designs I've ever seen. I love each and every monster when I run into them. It's a joy just to see their little animations, their designs. And I'm only at the beginning, so I'm sure that it's impressive from there. And the story right out of the gate, it seems like it's like a very standard JRPG plot. You're a chosen hero, but like, and you find out you're a chosen hero in like 5 minutes in, and you basically set off on this quest, and things happen predictably for the first 3 hours. But as soon as the tutorial ends, the game starts to twist in directions I didn't expect, and I definitely am excited to see where it goes. It's a classic RPG for sure, so if you're not a big RPG guy, you probably won't like it. But if you do enjoy RPGs, I can't recommend it highly enough. I'm sure I'll have more to say about it. I'm only 5 or 6 hours in right now.
I've played a few of Dragon Quest games. My favorite is, of course, Dragon Quest VIII, Journey of the Cursed King.
And, that's the pirate from Smash, right?
Yes, that's the pirate from...
Yeah,
you're calling him Smash... You're calling him that because of the bandana, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a pirate.
And the sword. He's not a pirate?
No, he's not a pirate. He's actually a Kingsguard.
No way.
He's a Kingsguard.
What? I was sure he was a pirate.
Nope.
What? Oh, nope. My gosh. That is just...
Sorry. Sorry to blow your mind. Anyway, but I've dabbled in Dragon Quest now and again. Well, Journey of the Cursed King was really, really good. I might get, you know, Dragon Quest XI, maybe. We'll see. But, I don't know. It just depends on when we're going to get those next Nintendo big games, which, again, right now it doesn't look like for a while unless you're an Animal Crossing fan, in which you got less than 2 months to wait. Yes, Animal Crossing fans, you're almost there! You're almost there! Not really.
I don't know. I think it's going to get delayed. It's going to get delayed. It's going to be heartbreaking.
Dude.
It's going to be heartbreaking.
Dude, stop. The villager will come after you, okay? We all saw what you did in Smash Brothers, all right? It's not pretty.
That's very true. I hope it doesn't. I feel like it's going to.
Yeah. All right. Well, despite it being a Nintendo Direct-less, get it? Because that's our title. Despite it being a Nintendo Direct-less week, we have had some interesting. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. Starting off, we have some good news for Nintendo, because it won not one, but two different lawsuits this year, apparently. One of them was over a Wiimote controversy. I think it was like a design controversy. Do you remember that, Tyler?
I do remember that. That was from a really long time. It was that people said they broke, and then they actually, like, I didn't. I remember people thinking Nintendo would just win the case, and then they lost, which was shocking.
And then they won now.
I guess they just were like, appeal that, and now they won. So that one I agree with them on. The other one is, it's just a bad look.
Yeah, it was a Nintendo eShop case in which Nintendo is now not responsible for refunds in certain countries. So, okay.
Yeah, if you pre-order a game, you can't get your money back, which is, I mean, it's odd on several levels. I don't understand why Nintendo would put that restriction on people. That just seems anti-consumer and wrong. I also don't understand why somebody would put a $60 down on a game that they're not like totally sure they want. It does seem like I'm not that type of person. I don't put pre-orders down unless it's an emblem game, the next Smash Brothers game. But I guess if that's something people do in mass, it's ridiculous that they wouldn't be able to get their money back. Or, you know, things come up sometimes. You know, maybe like I put myself in that situation. Let's say it was a Fire Emblem game and I pre-ordered it, but then I fall on hard times. I need to save every penny. You know, then you could be screwing people over that way too. It's just wrong. I'm very disappointed that they.
It is a bad look, so we'll just let's see how that goes. But definitely not the best look for Nintendo right now, especially with everything that they doing to, you know, keep fans on the good side, since we didn't have Nintendo Direct this week.
Monsters. Yeah, well, it's weird because they've also, like, with the YouTube, they were lightening up on their YouTube restrictions. Like, it seemed like they were getting better at being pro consumer. Like, Nintendo used to always be the big corporation that was, you know, the big kid on the block, especially back in the 90s and 80s, of course. So they've kind of kept that reputation as the stern, tough guy. And they were kind of shedding that towards the beginning of the Switch era. And this just seems like a step backwards towards that kind of, I don't know, evil corporation vibe.
All right, well, moving on to some lighter news to the not delayed Animal Crossing. Stop it, Tyler. Stop it! They have announced some pre-orders. Yes, if you get if you pre-order Animal Crossing at Target, you're going to get a journal with a 2020 calendar. You know, that way you can write down everything you've done in Animal Crossing that day. Yay!
Oh, that's kind of cool. I like that. That ties into the game nicely.
Oh, no, it's very simple. Sometimes the simple pre-orders are the best ones. And then if you pre-order at Best Buy, you will get a Animal Crossing phone and tech badge. So, you know, like, it's a sticker that you can put on your phone. So
that's lame.
Well, it's Tom Nook.
It's not as good as the calendar. I'm sure Tom Nook is in the calendar as well.
But more than likely. Yeah, the Animal Crossing fans are no doubt waiting for Animal Crossing to come out. And if it does get delayed, they're going to blame you, Tyler.
Jinxed it. From GameStop?
What?
No pre-order discount from GameStop?
Not that I saw. But, I mean, it could be. But then again, I wouldn't trust GameStop with a pre-order anyway.
That's fair.
Yeah. They definitely don't do well at customer service.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but true.
You almost have to wonder, that do they take after the Rick Harrison art of making a deal? I brought you 100 games. How much can I get for it? I can offer you $20 and I'm taking a hit here.
I saw a good one. of Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlets.
Yeah.
I'll give you $5 is the best I can do.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Rick. We're referencing Pawn Stars if you don't get that reference. Anyway, but I'm sure GameStop has one, but I honestly have not seen it. But that doesn't mean mean it's not there. So, if you are gonna get one of these pre-orders, do let us know which one you are leaning toward. All right, so from a game that will make many people happy to a movie that might make Tyler happy, let's talk Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, might happy is an apt description. The odds that it makes me happy are very, very low. Yeah. I mean, they are very, very low. It's going to be dreadful.
But I know the ironic thing is that because this now officially not delayed, it is coming out on February 7th or 14th. No, 14th, because it's coming out after Birds of Prey.
Right.
So it's coming out on the 14th, and projections are stating that it could make $40 to $50 million in its opening weekend.
It just seems high to me.
It does.
That just seems high. This screams bust.
Yeah.
It screams bust. There's not a ton of buzz around Sonic right now. And, yeah, I don't know. If this was the 30th anniversary, I'd wait for the 30th anniversary. But, I mean, I could be wrong, and it could end up actually being, one, a good movie, and two, people will go see it. But I don't know. Like, I'm not a kid, so I'm not in touch, but I don't know. I don't know if the youth still love Sonic like they did back when we were on the play.
Yeah. It seems
like it's going to appeal more to like people our age that are like just die or, you know.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that just because of how they're handling the movie. Because, I mean, they're doing it, you know, in our world, not in Sonic's world. Eggman is dressed in black leather to start. You know, he's interacting with a human and not, you know, all the classic friends. Tails and Knuckles is not in the movie that we know of. So this definitely, I think they're trying to go for like the Sonic Boom crowd. So
yeah, you could be right. That's a good point. I didn't really consider that. I was more thinking was the people who actually are going to go to see it will
possibly.
Be. Yeah, but we won't know.
Yeah, I think
I'll give report when I leave the theater on the 14th, because there's no way I'm not seeing it. I have to see it. It's going to be a train wreck, but I have to see it.
Like, I don't like train wrecks, but they're just so fun to watch. No.
I'm going to be glued.
Yeah, I think what the biggest determining factor here is honestly going to be the, because when the first trailer came out, it was horrifying to see what they did to Sonic, and then they did the remake, or the revision, if you will. And it looks so much better. Like, this was the Sonic that we were waiting to see. But I've honestly been seeing commercials of it and, like, new scenes and all that. And while I still see some of the classic Sonic, there's also some of, like, is so stupid. Like there's a scene where Sonic, like, stops a bunch of bullets or whatever. And the main character asks, "How are you not dead?" And Sonic goes, "I don't know." It's just like, Sonic wouldn't say that. You see, Sonic says, like, they gotta go faster to try and hurt me or something like that. You know, he'd be cocky.
Right, Sonic's too cool about it. He's too cool to care. He wouldn't care about it. He'd be like, "Oh, listen, I'm Sonic. I'm, like, too easy." That's what he would say. He would be like, "It's too easy."
And then apparently there's a scene in the movie where he goes, like, all fluffy with his hair. And just like, Sonic wouldn't do that either. Sonic would maintain a cool physique at all costs. You know, he's 90s, dang it. He is a 90s icon. He was made to be teen angst. Gosh.
Right. Did you see that Sega said they were going to announce some new Sonic news at the beginning of every month this year, leading up to the 30th anniversary?
I did not, but that would be interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see what that is. I definitely expect that we'll get an announcement for at least two new games, I would think.
At least.
Mania 2 is inevitable. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, because when I'm at the gym, or when I'm at any point, at all times in my life, what I'm doing is thinking about Sonic. I was thinking that Mania might actually be the best Sonic game ever made.
Maybe.
It might be the best one. And
even more than Sonic Adventure 2?
That's the thing. That's the comparison. It, Sonic Adventure 2, and like I love Sonic Adventure 2 more, but I think I pains me to say it, like I'm stuttering. I know what I'm trying, but I can't do it. Mania is definitely, okay, fine, I'll just say it. Mania is, like, definitely the way better made game. Like, Adventure 2 isn't even, it's good. Like, it's not even that great of a game. Like, it's the best game. It's, like, my favorite game. But it's not as good as Mania on the sheer how well made. And Mania sold super well, too. So I would be shocked if we didn't get Sonic Mania 2 announced in either this year or early. And then, of course, Forces came out in 2017 as well, so we should be looking at the next 3D Sonic game relatively soon as well. Hopefully, we get both.
Possibly. There's a lot of ways this could go, and of course, the Sonic movie, I definitely think the reviews are going to be a big thing, because if it's as much as a dumpster fire as many people fear that it is, revision to Sonic's look or not, that's definitely going to tank the appeal, because, I mean, some people like to watch the world burn. Some would rather just save their money.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and let's be honest, if guys or gals, if you take your significant other to a Sonic movie and it's horrible, you probably just ruined your relationship. So, relationships are greater than Sonic, so save yourselves. I'm just saying. Alright, moving on to a story that is annoying me to high heaven. Alright, so if you recall, we literally last week, a week from today at the time of this recording, just found out about who the fifth and final Smash Brothers character is in Fighter Pack number 1. Byleth. Be happy. Be happy, dang it! I'll get to that in a second. But as you all know, hopefully, there is another fighter pack coming out with 6 characters to be distributed over the next 2 years, 2020 and 2021. And already, people are saying, oh, the next Smash Bros. Character might have just been revealed. No, it hasn't! Oh my gosh, stop it. Stop it. We are literally a week out from this crap, and you're just now, and you're saying already that you know what the next Smash Bros. Character is going to be. No, you don't! And I'll tell you why, because how many of you actually had Byleth right? Hashtag 1, if maybe 5, at most.
Very few. Very few. I'm sure some people were saying it as a joke, and they just fell into it being right. They actually didn't know. I have no idea how. Like, that Byleth didn't leak. Barry leaked beforehand. Hero leaked beforehand. Banjo was strongly, strongly rumored beforehand. I don't know how Byleth didn't leak. But
actually, if you think about it, Terry only kind of leaked because they thought it was a Neo Geo character, but everyone was saying, like, Samurai Showdown. No one was saying Terry. No one
was. Actually, you're right. That's a good point. We just knew it was from SNK.
Yeah, SNK. And no one said Terry. I'm like, hello? Terry Bogard. Anyway, but no, we're just a week out from this, and I've already seen a report saying, oh, the next character is going to be Minecraft Steve. Oh, no, the next character is going to be Crash Bandicoot. Stop it! Stop it! Alright? We're probably not going to find out for at least a month, if not 2, if not 3. When
at the risk of annoying you, the next character is going to be Crash.
Maybe. I'm not saying these are bad things. Okay, Minecraft Steve is a bad pick. Minecraft Steve is a terrible pick.
I know. Well, because the evidence, the quote-unquote evidence for Minecraft Steve was I presume fake picture of Sakurai's with like recently played and Minecraft was on it. And everybody's like, oh, he is playing Minecraft to learn a moveset because everybody knows he plays all the games. I don't know if that's true, one that he plays all the game, but that was what I was seeing, that why people were saying Minecraft was probable. Crash, I didn't really see a reason other than he's been strongly demanded. And that's why I think Crash is going to make it in. I feel like he will be the perfect character to kick off the next pass, because he would be a very hyped announcement.
I mean, he would make sense. He has been on Nintendo platforms before, both in handheld and console form, including us getting the Insane Trilogy.
Right, we got the Insane Trilogy.
Yeah, so, you know, there are reasons for Crash to be in. And I honestly think with his very physical style of gameplay and occasional weapons, that it could be a possible pick. But there's no way you're knowing this right now. I swear people are just guessing. And I can tell you that because a lot of people were saying Crash and Minecraft Steve and Doom Guy and a whole bunch of other people before it was Byleth announced. So, and all of them is like, no, it's probably gonna be, it's the next one. The next one's going to be Crash Bandicoot. Shut up!
I think that this, like, of rumors is playing, I don't know, at this point, I think it's gotten to the point where I agree with you. Like, it's not even fun anymore. Like, before Smash came out, I loved visiting Papa Gino's channel on YouTube and watching all the, this is the who's trending in the rumors now, just because it made me excited. The possibility of who could be in Smash, I loved it. But now I can't watch any of those videos. It's all just like, I love Smash so much. Like my favorite game, but I need a break from the constant who's coming out next. We got Banjo-Kazooie. I'm just going to enjoy who we have in the meantime. And when Sakurai says, hey, I got somebody new, I'm going to be excited. Unless it's Terry, and I won't be excited. I won't be excited if it's Terry.
So, just stop it, all right? Let the process happen naturally. Again, all six characters of Fighter Pack 2 have already been selected. They're in the works right now. Just let it happen. Alright? Now, to debunk another rumor, okay? Let's talk about Doom Guy. Doom Guy is one that has been rumored for a long time. Especially since Doom had its reboot brought over to the Switch, and we are also getting Doom Eternal. Is Doom Guy going to be in Smash Brothers? At present, no. This comes straight from the team
Bethesda.
Yeah, Bethesda. I thought that was someone else. But yeah, Bethesda. And yeah, it was the Doom Eternal director, Marty Stratton, talked with Metro about Smash Brothers. And he noted that they honestly did ask them about putting Doom Guy in Smash Bros. And it seemed like a joke at first, but they were serious that they were doing it. And they said they're open-minded about making it happen. And they go, Metro went, so you did ask them. They go, he goes, quote, we've had, I don't even know who we talked to, but we've bantered with them. We have a great relationship with them through bringing Doom 26 Switch and that kind of stuff. So we have people over there, but it's one of those things where it's like, wouldn't it be cool? But it's never gone anywhere serious, so we'll see. So, now obviously this could be the same kind of thing that people say to debunk rumors and everything, but I would like to think that Nintendo wouldn't bring in Doom Guy because of the rather violent nature of his games. Which, yes, I know, you know, Solid Snake and Bayonetta, they're all part of M-rated genres and all that, but they can have their violence toned down. It wouldn't be the same with Doom Guy. Alright? And his arsenal would literally be all guns.
Yeah.
So, and what would you even do with the BFG?
Yeah, like he could punch you, like he could do some melee, like because the finishers are usually just some gruesome thing. I like Doom. I played Doom on Switch. It was really, really good. The next one, I'm sure, is going to be amazing. I would hate this pick for. I mean, I wouldn't hate any pick for Smash at this point, honestly, but this is one of the characters that I want the least that people are talking about. So when I saw this news, I did a bit of a happy dance. I just don't think Doom Marine is like the type of character that should be in Smash Bros. I would much rather see Bandana Waddle Dee, and I'm really not looking forward to seeing Bandana Waddle Dee.
And then it's just like all the references that they'd have to try to avoid. Because remember, Sakurai, Bayonetta got in because we voted her in, and Sakurai was really concerned because of the whole, you know, she's basically naked when she attacks, and so they had to do workaround about that, and so they'd have to work around a lot with Doom Guy's stuff, including the BFG 9000, because we all know what BFG stands for.
Yeah.
So
Bayonetta, at least, too, is like a cartoonier character.
Yeah.
Like, she works. She definitely works, but I don't think Doom Guy works. I don't think Master Chief works. People like want Master Chief in there too. No, I don't.
Master Chief should never be in it because he's never been on a Nintendo platform. Every third party character, loosely or emphatically, has been on a Nintendo platform. And so
yeah, I agree. I do think Master Chief would be better than Doom Guy.
I agree with that.
But
I agree that you couldn't make that work, including in fact that he would have both guns and blade weapon, the Covenant sword or whatever.
Yeah, the beam sword.
Is that his energy blade thing?
Sword, oh my gosh, yeah. I can't think of it. I just had the sword's name in my head. And then the hammer as well. You can also use the hammer.
His final smash could be summoning like a warthog and like riding it and just blasting everybody with a minigun.
Yeah.
Cool.
He would work better than Doomguy, but still not a good fit.
All right, moving on to... This story makes me happy, even though it's technically kind of misleading. So as we reported last week, there's been a lot of video game delays in the last week or so, including but not limited to Marvel's Avengers, which has gotten delayed to later this year, Final Fantasy VII Remake, which got delayed until April, and then Cyberpunk 2077, which is obviously one of the biggest games of recent years because of the greatness that CD Projekt Red has done with the Witcher series. Toss a coin to your Witcher. Ah, stop it! I couldn't resist. It was right there. Have you seen it, Tyler? Have you seen Witcher Season 1?
I have, and I should start it. I can't believe how many people are watching it. I figured this would be a nothing thing, and yet it's like the most watched Netflix show. It's crazy.
One of the watched most Netflix shows, but yeah. I watched it just out of curiosity, and I like Henry Cavill. I like him too.
He's good Superman.
Yeah, he's honestly a great Geralt. I keep wanting to say Geralt, but it's Geralt. But yeah, he does really good as Geralt. The storytelling is kind of wacky, so you know, be prepared for that. But and the bard has to die, Yaskir. Who actually sings Toss the Coin to Your Witcher, he has to die. Alright? And I don't say that about a character unless I really hate him. So, yeah, he has to die. But outside of that, it's great! Yeah! I mean, you're a fan of Game of Thrones, you'll love it.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So, but, no, the CD Projekt Red did great with the Witcher trilogy, and so everyone's looking forward to Cyberpunk, but apparently one of the reasons that the game was delayed was because the PS4 and the Xbox One weren't powerful enough. And this comes from apparently an insider of CD Projekt Red, and he says that CD Projekt Red is having trouble getting the game to run on the PS4 and the Xbox One due to a lack of power. He didn't divulge specific details, but apparently, on consoles, it's not running at a satisfactory level. Now, obviously, it's coming out on PC where you can like update your your tower to infinity and beyond to get it to work. So obviously, that's not an issue, but they're needing more time to get the game to work on consoles. And if this is true, that's hilarious.
I just love how much joy you're getting from this. The joy that you've gotten from port that. The PlayStation and Xbox aren't powerful enough makes me happy.
Yep. Well, it's just, what has been the argument over like the last however many years? Let's just say the last three console generations, this one, last one, and the whatever. It was, what's more important, graphics or gameplay? And I have always said that it's a balance of graphics and gameplay, because you can have a gameplay with a great hook, and yet you have graphics out of crap, and no one wants to play it because who wants to look at a game like that? Or you can have a game that looks uber polished, you know, 4K plus knuckles, whatever. And yet, if the gameplay is crap, who wants to just look at something good? I mean, that's what movies and television are for. And, you know, all throughout the Xbox and the PS4's life, it was, you know, graphics, high resolution, epic frame rate, blah, 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 blah. And then here you have a game that is made by one of the best development teams in the world, undisputed, and their consoles aren't powerful enough to handle their vision. Only the PC, apparently, is able to handle the vision of CD Projekt Red. That's hilarious. Because, A, that shows that they really went all out on this in terms of, you know, processing power and technical capacity, and good on them! I mean, that's why it's taken so long to make. And you know, they really did take their time on this game, and I applaud them for that. But it's just hilarious that, you know, they were told, hey, no, you can go this far with the game, and they did that, and now the consoles can't keep up. Ha, ha, And yet we're looking forward to Animal Crossing. We're looking forward to Animal Crossing, this very basic visual game with a, you know, great gameplay feel. It's going to sell millions, no doubt. And it's just like, you know, hey, we're not getting delayed again.
Yeah, I feel like Isabel is knocking on the door of Square Enix and of CG Project Red and just like taxing them. You look like the villager meme, but it's Isabel, because March is just going to be Animal Crossing's month now. Whatever, a jam-packed month to boom. Here's Isabel doing her thing.
Yep.
Being a dog.
Yep. God bless. God bless. Sorry. Don't know what happened there. Alright, next up, let's talk Mega Man. So Mega Man has had a big career resurgence recently. There is a movie that is for some reason being made. I don't know why. Mega Man 11 obviously sold very, very well, and Mega Man 12 is in the works. And the Mega Man collections that have come out recently over the last few years have been big successes, helping fuel the desire for more Mega Man properties. And many people are wondering, could Mega Man Battle Network be coming back? Just randomly, because this was definitely one of the longest running of the Mega Man series. You know, it had, gosh, technically, was it only like 10 games? 8 or 10? Because there was like, you know, one storyline but two paths, like Pokemon Power, you know? So,
I never actually played the Battle Network.
You never played Battle Network?
I never played Battle Network.
Wow.
I started the first Mega Man. The time I played Mega Man was probably 5 years ago. I got the collection. I like went back and bought the Mega Man Legacy collection, and then that's how I got into the series. I own 1,000 different Mega Man collections because the games are very good.
Oh yes, they are very good. Battle Network was honestly really fun. They really played up the digital world kind of aspect, and I really, really liked it. The anime was honestly really good, and which is something rarely you say when it comes from video. And, okay, Pokemon, I guess. But actually, wait, what was first? Yeah, Pokemon games were first, then the anime. But, you know, it was fun stuff, and they said that they are open to it, per se, but they said, to make a sequel, we need careful ideas and preparations, the trends of the age, and whether the market is ripe for it. All these factors to be perfectly on our side. So, it could happen, but given the length of the games that they had, and they had a lot of games telling a very, you know, complex story over the years, they would need to have the right set of conditions, if you will, to bring back the Battle Network series. So it's not possible, just not likely right now. So sorry, Mega Man fans. I'd be open to it. If they brought it back on Switch, I'm open to it. But of course, Capcom's immediate goal should be to bring back Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, and give us the next game that you promised us. You left us on a cliffhanger, you monsters! We deserve the story.
I have it on good word, Todd, that Phoenix Wright, the next character in Smash.
Shut your mouth! Don't talk about that kind of thing, man! What do you think this is, Marvel vs. Capcom? Oh man. So, aside from that, there is more rumors about the Nintendo Switch Pro. And by that we mean that it's just literally, you know, what will it have, what won't it have. There was rumors about this very powerful Nvidia chip that would help boost the graphics on the handheld version. Okay. But then that was like debunked or whatever. And then there's like, you know, will it be like this? Will it be like that? I don't know. So this is why I'm like, don't listen to the rumors. Wait for Nintendo to announce it and then go from there. And I can
look at
that.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those cases because we've heard so many things. It just seems like every couple of weeks there's a new report on the Switch Pro that they haven't even announced yet. Like, I'm confident that it's coming. It just makes sense to launch a Switch Pro. But yeah, the latest thing I saw was that like it might not use an NVIDIA Tegra 1X whatever chip. And it's like, well, okay, that tells us literally nothing. Like, there's just no information there that's significant. So I'll wait for Nintendo to tell me what the deal is. And honestly, for this, more importantly, I'll wait to see what it can actually do. Because the standard Switch model is fantastic.
I love it.
I think it will need a power boost. especially to try to continue to get third-party ports. But yeah, I mean, I don't care what chip it uses.
So to wrap up, this was an interesting story that kind of cements my personal feelings on 2020 with the Switch right now. And that is Nintendo released a, let's call it an infographic about all the games that are coming to the console this year that we know about. And I'm just going to run down the games and I'm going to see if you can notice the trend, all right? So there is Tokyo. Okay. There is Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Encore Sharp. Snack World, The Dungeon Crawl, Gold.
Great game.
Don't interrupt me! Darksiders Genesis, Devil May Cry 3 Special Edition, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Animal Crossing New Horizons, Trials of Mana, SpongeBob SquarePants, Battle of Bikini Bottom Rehydrated, The Sword and Shield Expansion
Pack. I can't
wait
for that.
Oh gosh, you would. Wait, were you talking about SpongeBob or Pokemon?
Oh, SpongeBob.
I knew you were going to say that. Whatever. The Outer Worlds, Panzer Dragoon, Minecraft Dungeons, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, Doom Eternal, No More Heroes 3, Bravely Default 2, Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, Hollow Knight Silksong, the Super Smash Bros. Fighter Pass 2, and Deadly Premonition 2. Would anybody here like to tell me what the problem with that list is?
So, one, I think it's hilarious that they put Super Smash Fighter Pass 2 on the thing as though that's a game, when that's just more characters coming to Smash.
They didn't say anything about Pokemon, which is the pass.
Yeah, but that's at least like a big story DLC.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but obviously, party games are.
Say it again?
There's not a lot of first party games there.
Correct! In fact, right at the time of this infographic, the only first-party games are Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Encore, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Animal Crossing. I won't include Sword and Shield or Fighter Pass 2 because those are expansions for games that are already there. Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, and that's it. And then if you add in the exclusive games, which I'll be fair about, that's Bravely Default 2, No More Heroes 3, and that's it. So that's 5 exclusive games that they're highlighting for all of 2020. And that's not a lot. And then the rest are either... actually, wait a minute. I technically think Deadly Premonition 2 is an exclusive, but don't hold me to that. But still, even if I wasn't included, that's 6 across 12 months, 3 of which are third party. That's not a lot.
This is not your fault, but they didn't mention the Paper Mario revival and the Metroid, the 2D Metroid.
Potentially.
But they've been heavily rumored, and I feel good about those. Just something about that one feels legitimate to me. Like, the Switch has done a great job of giving the fans what they want, and I think that that will carry over with Paper Mario, and we could see it this year.
That was the other news we didn't really talk about. There are trademark rumors, if you will, for Metroid 2D, the Metroid game, kind of like Samus Returns. The rumors are even going to say that it might be a Metroid Fusion reboot or revival or whatever, which would be awesome because that's one of the best Metroid games. Paper Mario, and then the Mario and Luigi saga. So, if that's all true, and if, let's just say, all 3 games are coming to the Switch this year, that would be a big boost to 2020. I would maybe call Metroid a killer app, maybe, depending on how they play it, and then maybe
Paper Mario would be bigger than Metroid.
Hold on, maybe. Maybe. The problem here is, what kind of Paper Mario game? Now, the rumor is that they're going to be going back to the original and Paper Mario Thousand Year Door style. And if that is true, then they're appealing to all the RPG fans who really grew up and love this franchise like you and I do. If they do like a whole like sticker star, paper jam, color splash thing, it's going to bomb because not a lot of people liked those games. Like, color splash, I think, did decently on the Wii U.
It was called the problem with Color Splash was that it was at the very end of the Wii U's life. So I doubt that game sold well. Although I believe it had much better fan reception than Star did. I still had a lot of the same problems, but I believe that game is a little more respected amongst the Paper Mario fans.
So we'll see. We'll see. But if it's true, and if they go back to what made Paper Mario great, that could be a surprise hit of 2020, no doubt. Depending on how they handle Metroid, whether it's a fusion reboot or an original 2D game, which I would love, you know, that could be another big thing too. And then Mario and Luigi, that's tricky because they did like those reboots, remasters on the 3DS, and I think they did okay, but like they were kind of just pointless.
No. I know that Bowser's Inside Story sold like 1,000 copies. Like it did, it bombed.
It bombed
that
hard.
One bombed.
But again, that was at the end of the 3DS's life, so I'm not going to
blame
it.
Yeah, it was. They set them out to die, for sure. That was totally wasted their time. I don't know why they had... That was among the most underrated head-scratchers. Like, if that game was on Switch, it would have no reason not to say, let's go ahead and make that on Switch.
And let's be clear, the original Bowser's Inside Story on the DS was one of its best games, sold
right,
well.
Right, that was a smash hit.
Critical hit. And so that's, and then they remade it for the 3DS just weirdly, and it's just like, what do you expect? So, but if it's a new Mario and Luigi game, it could do well. It could do well, but I don't know. So, we'll see. But like we said, we need a Nintendo Direct because there's just so much we don't know. And when you have to put SpongeBob SquarePants into an infographic,
that was tough.
You need help, listen. My friend.
Battle for Bikini Bottom is a cult classic. I loved that game. That game was great. That game was actually good. I'm going to put that one in the actually good.
Like I said, you need help, my friend. Yeah.
Did you don't know until you surf down the sand mountain with SpongeBob's tongue. You don't have the right to speak on it. It's a great game. You got
to
collect the golden spatulas.
I don't want to speak on it. I don't know how SpongeBob SquarePants has lasted all these years. All right, and the fact that
it's the greatest—it's the single greatest cartoon. Actually, scratch that. It's the single greatest piece of media in the history of humankind. That's how. It's the greatest.
Mouth.
It is the most hilarious and brilliant show of all time. The early seasons are gold.
The good place.
I started watching season 3 the other day. That show was really good. The Good Place is great.
You're dang right it is. Infinitely better than SpongeBob. So, and also...
Okay,
not
true, though. SpongeBob's
better. I would put Johnny Test above SpongeBob in the comedy sector.
What?
That's right. Johnny Test forever. And he had a much better theme song, too. Heard me.
No.
Yes.
Come on. Get out of here.
Nope.
Get out of here. SpongeBob is The goat of goats. I mean, that's the greatest piece of media of all time.
The only reason he's a goat is because he's bad.
You just think of every episode and you're like, oh gosh, that one's hilarious.
No,
oh, that's another
really
great
not.
One. Oh, that's another.
Like, it's really
dang
not
high,
like the time,
great
like
episode.
The time that they thought that air was like an air of like. Personality, respect, and they had like the pinky thing, and they almost
pinky
died.
Up. Oh, pinky up, that's so funny.
They were
you don't say pinky up every time you go to a restaurant.
No!
What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with
what
you?
What is wrong with you? I go to a restaurant, I always say pinky up. You have to.
Don't have to, Tyler.
Yes, you do.
Can we get
you
some medical attention
do.
For
Tia
Tyler? He's losing
great
his mind.
Somebody had to buy me donuts because they thought they knew that the first episode of SpongeBob was Bubble Stand, which it's not. It's Help Wanted, and they was foolish enough to bet me on that. And it was proven wrong. It was devastated, but I got a nice box of donuts for it. It was great. What a day.
Let's get back to
the point
Nintendo.
Is, Battle for Bikini Bottom is awesome. That's a great game.
Whatever. Anyway, we need a Nintendo Direct. We need it soon, and... they need to start filling out what's coming in 2020 because we got 2 months until Animal Crossing. I don't think Pokemon Mystery Dungeon is going to do as well as they think it is. Maybe that's why they're putting it close to Animal Crossing to minimize their losses. I don't know. But and then we don't know anything after Animal Crossing definitively in terms of dates. We do not know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that is strange.
Yeah, we need to know something soon, Nintendo. I mean, you spoiled us for 2 weeks straight, and now you're just leaving us out to dry? Come on. We need air. We need Nintendo air. Pinky off! I see. I think it's next week. I even said it for you. And I'm just like, I don't even feel anything. It's just like, I feel stupid now because I said pinky up. See?
When in doubt, pinky up. I do think it's... Bioleth comes out Tuesday? So sometimes they do directs earlier in the week. So I keep an eye on Sunday for an announcement for a Tuesday direct. They'll do a brief little, hey, remember Smash 7.0 is coming out with Byleth. And then they'll announce the first character of DLC 2 because that goes on sale at the same time. And you can't put that on sale without having a character. That's crazy. So I think next week we get one.
See. All right, and moving into our main event of the night. This is actually something that was a story a couple weeks ago, but because of the Pokemon and Smash Brothers Direct, we haven't been able to talk about it yet. Sony is not going to attend E3 for the second year in a row because of the upcoming release of the PS5 and their new views on State of Play, which is their version of the Nintendo Direct. Of course, Nintendo Direct is better, obviously. And... this led to an interesting question in our mind. Is E3 dying because of Nintendo? And we're going to put this to the test in a Nintendo discussion. Tyler, this was your topic, so why don't you explain? So why don't you explain to the audience what we mean by Nintendo being the reason that E3 is dying, potentially.
Right, because I mean, I would actually say E3 still has a purpose, but E3 used to be a show primarily for media, hence a lot of the presentations being like super awkward. Recently, they've sort of tried to shift it to make it more a consumer show, but for back in the day, it was very much a media-only thing. And now, with it being so easy for game companies to just communicate directly with us, they can just totally bypass the media. So that's why we're seeing Sony say, you know what, we're not going to do E3 this year, even though they're unveiling a console, because they'd rather just do it their own way directly to the consumer. Keyword directly, because it ties back into the Nintendo Direct, which really kind of started all of this 10-plus years ago at this point. And Nintendo was the first of the big three to not go to E3 at least with a conference. Nintendo started doing the Nintendo Direct instead of the traditional conference. I believe Sony's anything there. I don't think they're going to have any games there. Nintendo always shows up and does a booth and all that. But the question really is now, is there E3? And how much of this is Nintendo's fault? Has the Nintendo Direct finally started leading to the end of E3?
It's a curious thing, because when I really started getting into my game flow, which was high school because of G4, rest in peace, and then college, you know, E3 was the week. It was the week that you had to pay attention. I almost missed a final because of E3. And I didn't care. I got an A anyway. It didn't really matter. But I intentionally went late to a final because of the Nintendo press conference that they had 1 year. And, of course, the Nintendo press conference is where we met Reggie. It's where they introduced Wii Fit, and the 3DS, and a whole bunch of other things. And so it was, for the longest time, the big thing. And then they did the digital conference and were like, is this really a good idea that they're not going to have like that big presence? And then, of course, the Wii U debacle happened, and the the digital conferences kind of became like less and less meaningful. And then they did the Breath of the Wild one with Pokemon, and then Breath of the Wild was Game of the Year, and then the Switch got revealed. And ever since then, like, every Nintendo digital conference at E3 is, you know, this magical thing. And then you hear about Xbox and Sony, and it's just like, what are they doing? Because, like, 2 years ago, Sony had that, try to do, like, a more intimate setting with, like, the demos and the, you know, we're going to take a 20-minute break to do this, and then, you know, try to get them all back.
That did not work out.
It was rum. Like, you had a simple thing. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to make sure the wheel is shiny. All right? You know, the box is there for a reason. Stop trying to think outside of it. And, you know, Xbox has been keeping it simple. You know, they have the stage. They do certain reveals. They had Keanu. You know, I love you. Yeah. Whoa. So, obviously, the game conferences are, like, the most important thing on the face of the earth. I'm kidding. Nanny? Oh, Will's here. Well, thank you. Well, I do agree that my Keanu Reeves impression is top-notch. I wouldn't go that far, Todd. Shut up, Will! So, you know, like, Xbox has been keeping it basic. They show the games, they show reveals, you know, they bring out special guests, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're not reinventing the wheel, they're just making sure that it's shiny enough for people to understand. And sure, they get weird sometimes, like with, like, the Gears of War platform thing that had, like, the WWE superstars playing it. I'm just like, okay, that's a little much, but okay, good for you and everything. And Nintendo's just doing its thing with the digital conferences and just shining like they can with the, you know, the deeper gameplay demos in the entire area. Like, I still fondly remember when they had the whole area dressed up as a Super Mario Odyssey, and they were playing Jump Up Superstar on repeat, and it was, like, the coolest thing ever. The Nintendo tree houses have become, like, an even more important thing over the last few years of the Switch because of all the gameplay demos. They even do reveals occasionally. Those demos were what got us into Mario and Rabbids. Remember that? Because we were like, right, this is actually a cool thing. And we were watching, you know, Mario Odyssey at times. They were talking about Smash Brothers. They were showing off all these games. And, you know, Nintendo realizes that, yeah, you could watch us for the press conferences, but wouldn't you rather see, like, you know, 40 minutes of what's coming and then hours upon hours of us actually playing the games that you want to try? And that works. And we watch it for Nintendo, and we watch the other stuff. It's fine. But, you know, Nintendo's nailed it, and Sony just hasn't. And I honestly think that they're kind of scared to come back because it's like, they know what kind of works, but they don't want to just be basic, and yet they don't know how to innovate like their press conference like Nintendo does. And so they're like, oh, we're going to do more with the State of Play, which is fine, I suppose, but State of Play is not anywhere near Nintendo Direct. And for a lot of people who go to these events to see, like, you know, Sony in some way, that's kind of sad. And yeah, I get it. There's not been a lot of PS4 announcements last year to this year, and they're still, you know, boasting Ghost of Tsushima, even though it's, like, been documented for years now. So, you know, who knows if that game's going to be. And then, of course, they're already, you know, plugging Last of Us Part 2, which is coming out. When's it coming out again? Last of Us?
I believe it's coming out at the end of this year, but maybe it got delayed. I know it got delayed.
Yeah, this game keeps
I don't remember
delayed.
Exactly to when.
So, and, you know, there's already rumors about, you know, like, they're going to pull, like a Wii U or a GameCube where they have, like, dual releases on the two platforms just to make sure everyone can get it and all that. And, you know, maybe they don't have enough to show off a PS5. But I don't think that's wise, because even if they just showed off the console and they talked about it for 30 minutes to say, you know, these are the games, like, they could show the ones that were announced at the Game Awards. You're telling me that in 6 months you can't get a good, like, E3 demo for Godfall or whatever, you know, The Woods 2 or whatever you want to show? You know, you tell me you can't do that in 6 months? It's really, really weird. And if the PS5 is coming out holiday season, just like the Xbox Series X, which is still a terrible name, you know, you need to show something off. Something, anything. A trailer, a gameplay reel, something. Even if you don't have, you know, something like super, super powerful to show off, that's fine. We know it's coming. But, you know, there was a time when E3 was the place to announce every single new console. That's where we got Xbox 3, Xbox. That's just a period. That's where we got Xbox. Bill Gates came out and started, you know, showed off his new console, and it was awesome. And then, you know, all the PlayStations, when Nintendo, all the way back at the original E3s, when Nintendo tried to come to America, and they showed, like, the first E3 version of their SNES, or the, sorry, the NES, and it was, like, really weird looking, and they heard the consumer reports, and it's like, you know, we need to go basic, and so they basically just copied the Famicom and changed the color scheme, and boom, Nintendo Entertainment System. And ever since then...
So that I believe, was the Consumer Electronics Show, not E3, but sure. The idea, yes, the E3 started in the early 90s.
Yeah,
first E3, I believe, was 1994. I think.
Okay, you're probably right. I probably was SCE. But anyway, like, still, they a lot of consoles have been announced at E3. So the Switch wasn't, ironically enough, but that by that point, the Nintendo Directs and everything that they had done had already taken over. So, you know, there is a line of thinking here that Nintendo did unintentionally hurt E3 by doing the digital conferences, because... they focused on the more intimate gameplay setting with their Treehouse, which is very much a Nintendo-only thing, where you watch it on Nintendo.com/E3, and it's not like the major press conferences that you put on TV or whatever. You can, but it's not exactly. You're literally putting a recording of a recording up. So, yeah. And for Sony to back out 2 years in a row, E3 totally... I'm still with you, Tyler. E3 totally has a place in this world. That's undisputed. But... you know, Nintendo.
Yeah, I agree with you, but it is, like, people right now think E3 should be gone. I see a lot of people on Twitter, Ash Paulson from Game Explained being one of the big ones, who say E3 is it's dated and archaic at this point. And I think to a certain degree that is true. The press conference is certainly dated and archaic. There's no reason for a traditional old school press conference. The Nintendo Direct, in my opinion, is the better way to do it. And I know State of Play right now isn't a very big thing, but certainly the one way to get people to start caring about it is by announcing your console, it all up. But E3 is definitely, it's been said 100 times, but it's true. It's Christmas for video game fans. It's Christmas for gamers, seeing these games across all the platforms being discussed within 1 week's time frame. It's so exciting. I know Nintendo's not on the stage, but doing a show, and I feel that Sony is missing out. And I don't know, maybe they will do a State of Play the same week E3 is. They'll do it on the same time slot that they used to do their traditional press conference. But E3, to me, it's still, even though the press conferences are dated, E3 is still special, because we're getting the gaming world come together. This is the time of year where the gaming world comes together. We show off all the new toys, all the new games that are coming out, the new technology, all there, and we get to dive in and see what the future is going to hold. For a week, and it does bring together Nintendo fans, Sony fans, Xbox fans. Sure, a lot of it is us fighting on the internet over who won the show, but it's fun. It's a fun. I mean, it's still a special time of year, and I think that Sony is making a big mistake by not being at E3 this year, the year that they're unveiling their console. It's weird to me that they chose this, and I think you're right. You hit on, maybe they're afraid that they don't know how to do the good press conference anymore, because they did get bad marks the past couple of years that they did them, but Sony won this the previous generation with at E3, the iconic handing the game to, I forget who the executives, but they passed the game back and forth and said, that's how you share games on PlayStation, while Xbox won't let you share games. That was a huge blow to Microsoft and a huge win for Sony. The Xbox 360 outsold the PS3 in America, or blew the Xbox One away, and it happened at E3. That's where people's minds were changed. And I just think not showing up in the year that they're releasing their console, they're making a big mistake, and they're leaving it open for Xbox. Nintendo, even though they started this kind of going away from what E3 used to be, they still understand the importance of that week to gamers. And it doesn't seem like so getting that message.
Yeah, it's a community. Said there is a community of gamers who want to come together and hang out, see the show, see all the pomp and circumstance. And you say, and you and a lot of people said, you know, that these press conferences are archaic, and I can see that from a certain point of view. Get it? Because Obi-Wan's been delayed. Never mind.
Yeah, I got it.
Wise I am. Slow you are. it's like there's a... I can see why you say that, but I still think there's a thrill in that because it's like, you know, world premiere. And you think, ooh, what's it going to be? What's the new game we're going to see? And... Or is it something that we know about? You know, and just we need to see expand. You know, even this world of leaks and trailer, you know, reveals early or whatever, still get excited for new games, and press conferences can be a great way of doing it. And the Nintendo Direct is just an extended version and a more flashy version of a press conference. I mean, it's not that different from it. It's just, hey, we're doing it in a digital space.
No, true.
We're doing a digital space versus a real one, and that's fine. But, and then, like I said, the Nintendo Treehouse is a perfect example of how E3 does work, because you can't have those demos in a press conference because that'll get boring. But if you're at home watching it on your computer, and it's like, oh, they're about to do a thing on the new Smash Brothers character, Midna from Twilight Princess. You betcha rock I'm going to watch that for 30 minutes. And then they go, when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the new indie games coming to it. And if I'm not interested in the indie game, I can go and do something else. I can check back in 20 minutes, and boom, there's something else. There's the new Metroid game that I can watch for 20 minutes. You know, that is something that, you know, really gets the fans going, because it's an in-depth look. It's helping us. It's helping sell the game. And you can't do that in a Nintendo Direct. You can't do that in a regular press conference. And you can't even do that on certain cons, because demos only let you do so much. But this is them, the developers, helping explain why these games matter, why this looks fun. And that's what gets me going. And so E3 does have a purpose, even if people like Xbox or Sony aren't using it to the full potential. Nintendo has! So they might be killing the business in their own way, but they're also showing how the business should be done, and for that we should be grateful.
No, I completely agree. I totally agree with you there. I do think Nintendo changed E3 exists in a lot of ways with the Nintendo Direct, but I think that they haven't on it clearly, because they're still there in such force. And I do believe that that's the right way to continue.
Yeah. We'll see. And obviously, we are already looking forward to E3, which is only 5 months away.
Holy
that's true.
That's
it's only 5 months away.
It's only!
5 months are going to fly by.
Yeah! Please don't. I can't believe it's already almost February. I can't handle this.
I know. It's
just
time celebrated going
New
too
Year's.
Fast. We're going to be joining Will in the great beyond.
Yes. We just did the Nintendo. We just did the Nintendo draft, and I'm already winning. No, I'm kidding. Although technically,
If Paper Mario gets revealed, I believe that you said that you would like a Paper Mario game.
I did, and I also said that, you know, they need to revive some of their older IPs, and I would qualify Mario and Luigi and Paper Mario as that, especially if they go back to the classic forms of them and not just the hey, what gimmick can we throw at them this time thing. So
yeah, Paper Mario, I agree. Mario and Luigi, when did Paper Jam come out? I that was probably older than I think.
That was
Paper Jam came out.
That was 3DS.
Yeah. I feel like Paper Jam just came out like 2 years ago, but I bet you it was probably 4.
But no, the original Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, that was one of my favorite games on the GBA. I couldn't
that
beat it.
That game was so good.
I couldn't beat it. I apparently screwed up how I was supposed to level up Mario and Luigi. My bad. I couldn't get past the Koopalings. Oops. But, you know, I would still, you know, play a new game with it if they went back to the classic form. And Paper Mario, if they go back to original and Thousand Year Door form, would be legendary. So, the blueprint is there. They just got to capitalize. But, anyway.
Yeah.
So, we're looking forward to E3. And obviously, as we get closer and hopefully have a few Nintendo Directs under our belt, we'll start talking about what we expect from E3. But until then, we're going to end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you if you were excited for Byleth's announcement for Smash Brothers, and 42% of you said yes, 58% no, which is fairly, I think, fairly true to the larger population.
How many votes did we have? Because I saw we had a lot.
Like 37.
That's not bad. I like that. That's 37.
Yeah, there was a decent amount of votes.
Now, see, it's funny because, you know, for all the haters out there, there are some absolutely beautiful things about Byleth that make me, like, want to cry. I don't know if you saw my art, me and Will's RT, but someone did, like, a hand-drawn cartoon of Byleth being brought into Smash Brothers. It's like it'd be like a meeting room or whatever, and she meets like Isabelle and Inkling and Daisy and all of them, and she's like, you know, it's like, is something wrong, Byleth? It's like, well, I haven't had a good response from the fans since I got here, and I just don't know if I belong. And, you know, like, Inkling hugs Byleth and goes, it doesn't matter what they think, it's like, if you're happy here, that's what matters. And then they all do like a big group hug, and King K. Rool is there also, and Terry and Simon Belmont and all of them, and it's like, you know, welcome to Smash Brothers, Byleth. And I'm like, why can't we be like that? Byleth did nothing to deserve this, you monsters.
Yeah. Everybody's been ranking their most hyped announcements. It's been one of the things that you see the 1,000 people. Everybody does tier lists now.
Yeah.
Just every single one of them has Byleth so low. I'm like, come on. Byleth is awesome. Like, Byleth's better than... Yeah. Byleth's better than... Honestly, I'm going to say Byleth is, like, the third best character they put out in this for Ultimate so far. Like, he's better than Piranha Plant, for sure. Piranha Plant's a troll character.
Yeah.
He's better than Terry.
And, like, Isabelle. I mean, did we really need Isabelle?
Isabelle was the definite worst one. The definite worst announcement was Isabelle. Because, I mean, here's the thing. Byleth plays unique. You know, Byleth has a unique play style. Isabelle is almost a villager clone. I mean, she has a few different moves. But she's really, really almost an echo fighter. Isabelle is by far the worst. I know people like Isabelle. I don't have anything against Isabelle. Isabelle, you know, it's a dog. I like dogs. But, yeah. Isabelle was the worst in it.
Dang fishing pole. Man, that thing is evil, man. So evil.
It is. It really is.
Anyway, so he's like, stop complaining about Byleth, all right? It's annoying. She/he is a good character. We should be grateful for the characters we're getting in the game. And then once Rex, Pyra, Midna, Isaac, Sora, Riku come in, I'm going to be happy first, and then Tyler can suffer. So I was expecting you to react when I said Rex and Pyra, but you didn't, so whatever.
I'm accepted that that's going to happen, and I will be sad.
It might happen. I would say, honestly, if I was to give percentages, I would say 25% chance.
Listen, it should happen. I'm not saying it's guaranteed to happen, but no. I think if they're doing first party characters as well, they should add a new Kirby character, even though I don't really know who they would pick. They should definitely, Rex is a good choice. Rex is right there. And they definitely need to add a new Zelda character. Like, they should absolutely, we have three Links. I don't understand why nobody complains about that, but they complain about Fire Emblem characters being kind of similar. The double standard is ridiculous, but that's okay.
Oh yeah, but
I'm not mad about it.
But again, this is also an everyone is here situation. So that's why we have...
That's
why we have three Links.
It is. But that's also why we have all the Fire Emblem characters.
Yeah,
pretty
much.
Get over it.
Yeah. So, screw your double standard.
Yeah, you can take Korin out of the game and 99% of people wouldn't care, but the 1% would, and it doesn't hurt the 99% that Korin's there. Like, get over it.
And, of course, if this wasn't not everyone here is here situation, Crom probably wouldn't be in the game. Cena wouldn't be in the game. Roy wouldn't be in the game. So, yeah. Yeah. So, what do you think, Tyler? Should we do a poll question this week, or should we take the week off?
I think we should honor our fallen brethren and a week of silence.
Yes, a week of silence for the departed Will. I'm not dead, guys. Yes, you are, Will! Stop haunting us! Nani? No, you Nani yourself.
I miss him.
What was that? Were you about to praise my glory?
Yeah, I was just going to say, saw.
Well, it's going to kill us if he ever comes back. Oh, boy. So, we are ending the episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Let us know what you have been doing this week, exploits, and how long do you think we have to wait for the next Nintendo Direct? And, of course, what do you think about Sonic maybe doing well at the movies? What Animal Crossing pre-orders are you going to get? What do you think of all these rumors? Are they annoying you yet? And when What games from the Nintendo lineup that we do know about are you most excited about? Do let us know, and we'll talk to you next week about it. So, for Telly's Tyler, and that's it, I am Triforce Todd, ladies and gentlemen. We are out of time, but we are not out of lives. You have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.